All right, everybody, welcome in to the Pine Room Podcast, episode 153. We've made it three past 150, which is almost hard to believe that we've done this for 153. I was going to say straight weeks, but I think we've taken a couple weeks off and done a couple pre-recorded ones. So I guess maybe pretty much 153 straight weeks, which is how many years? Wait, that's coming up on exactly three.
52, 104. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 156.
Yeah, so wow. We're three away from 3 years of doing this.
That's like 156 hours of talking.
We may have to go back up in the Pine Room and do a couple this summer.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Take the set back up and get back to where we were.
Get back to our roots.
Back to the roots, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'd perk it. Give everybody a little pep in their step, which we all need now and then.
Yeah,
you know
we
what
do.
We need to do is we need to have an episode where we're just drinking. A real yeah,
podcast
episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
That could be interesting.
Maybe that's the 3 year celebration.
Make it an actual celebration.
Yeah, and like we've mentioned before, we've got the new studio coming at some point. It's probably been the busiest that we've ever been with this. Maybe besides like the beer mile and what other event that we did that was super busy?
I mean, we had Rough and Rowdy.
Rough and Rowdy.
The beer parties.
Yeah, that was a busy time. But,
yeah, that was. I think that was more busy.
Just with now we're doing football games, basketball games. Now baseball's starting up. Honestly, I didn't think that's what we'd get into when we started this, but I ended up doing play-by-play for football and basketball this year.
Yeah.
Which I never, again, thought that I'd ever do, but this has taken us to a pretty crazy direction that we probably never thought that we would have went in, but here we are. We're doing live shows on the radio. We've revamped the studio, got a new studio coming, and things are moving in the right direction, I'd say.
Yeah, that's what people don't know is what we've been doing is this studio. The whole, not just our studio, but this whole first floor on our side of this building has been repainted. The carpet's torn off the wall in the studio, brand new soundproof wall with tongue and groove wood and the foam sound barriers. Now we're getting ready. We had to tear the carpet out, put new carpet down. We painted all the walls, the ceiling in our back room. It's been a massive, massive undertaking.
When did we start working?
I don't know. I never do the right thing and write down dates and timelines.
Well, I try to take pictures, but we get so caught up in doing the work that I forget to do it. Let me see if I can find when exactly we started doing like the actual work on the studio. Well, no, we have okay. So I'm looking at November 26th. Still nothing was done. So probably around like maybe December. I think when I came home for a little while.
I think it's around the time you came home around Christmas.
Yeah, I came home for about a month during Christmas, and I think we kind of started grinding away there. And if you're wondering what the actual radio studio looks like, I posted a video on our social media two days ago. When you're hearing this, of what it looks like in there with the TVs on and everybody in there. So go check that out. Give us a little follow on there. So.
But to go back to what you were saying, Jack, a little bit of a trip down memory lane. I was walking in here, and the first thing I did when I came into the studio, and I was looking at some of the stuff on the walls that we have in here, and I was thinking, man, we really have done so many different things.
And that's
things.
Funny that you say that, Cools, because Aunt Kim came in here. She's a faithful listener. She came in here a couple weeks ago and was looking at some of the stuff, and I was like, I try to keep at least something from like stuff that we've done, like right behind the camera right now. I'm pointing if you're watching this right behind the camera. I have our Vanderbilt basketball first game certificate up to the left. There's when we did the show of hands poster. So a bunch of the stuff that we do, I try to keep at least some of the memorabilia. I think there's a little piece of, I forget what it was, like some little bead that was on that guy's shirt when we did Rough and Rowdy. Coach, do you remember that guy that was dressed up?
The red guy.
Yeah, the red guy.
Yeah, he had the shiny things on.
Yeah, there's one of those hanging up behind, there's one on the shelf behind there. I think I would consider myself a very sentimental guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love collecting things and
looking
keeping
back
things.
On all of
oh,
it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's awesome. But like, it's crazy. I can remember the first day we were talking about it in the pine room. We're like, should Coach Dell looked at me and Jeb was sitting, and he's like, should we do a podcast? I was like, I would absolutely love to do that. With
were you there when he said that?
Yeah, it was at the podcast. We were sitting in the pine room. We were sitting in the bleachers, and he was like, how could we do it? And we're like, well, Jeb could plan all this, and all we have to do is just get some mics, and if we get talking, we could have so much fun with it. And little do we know, we do all this, and we have beer and doing all this
stuff. It's almost hard to believe that, like, you know, and we've talked about it before on here, not that we're, like, anything special right now, but the stuff, I mean, I would ever imagine that we're in our own studio now, and then we have another studio on the way, and doing shit on the radio, and broadcasting basketball games and football games, which, by the way, I had an absolute blast doing this year. I had so much fun doing basketball and football, and then I'm excited to try some baseball this year, but the Football Fridays might be my favorite thing that we did.
It was a fun time doing the basketball games and the football. I think I've grown as a person through all this.
Oh yeah, I mean, you gotta learn to talk, really.
And you guys know me, I was never a big talker. This has definitely kind of brought that out of me. Football and basketball, radio, it's been awesome.
Yeah, and I would recommend anybody that's doing anything, like if you start a project or you're gonna start into something like a pod, keep notes. Start from the beginning. Keep a diary or notes, a calendar, just something to mark all your timelines, or even do little, like Jarrett does sometimes, pictures and put them all together, because I regret that we didn't start from the beginning. Right when we started this whole thing, I wish I had dates and special, obviously special dates again, that of things like the Brew Fest, winning that at the at the Mountaineer Brew Fest 2 years in a row, getting our own beer, getting our own burger, doing the Halloween thing. That was fun.
Our first show at Rivers.
Our first Rough and Rowdy was absolutely incredible. That was so much fun those interviews.
I'll say that is one good thing about technology and having a phone, is that all the pictures you take tell you the date, which does make me – I actually use that often. Like, if I need to figure out when we did something, or if, like, something that happened, I just go to my phone and look up the pictures. And I need to take more pictures. I try to take as many pictures of videos as I can when we do stuff, but sometimes I get caught up in having fun.
Yeah, and the show of hands. I mean, we did that, and that was fun. The Nailers, we've been partnering with the Nailers now for several years. I mean, we went things like going down to doing that thing with Coach Mazie down at West Virginia. Mm-hmm. That was freaking awesome. Then went down and saw Max Malesa, did that thing at Williamstown. Mm-hmm. That little thing for Coach Dell's dugout talk. That was those kind of things you never forget. And then when you see little clips of them or pictures, it brings back so many fun memories of the good times we've had and all that we've been through together. And how much we've done, my God. Now we're actually...
I forget some of the stuff we've done. We've done much stuff.
Yeah,
and we're trying to keep it rolling here. As we said, we've been super busy with just trying to nail down basketball. Basketball season's finally over. That was a whirlwind just because so much, like, schedule changes and shit that changes with basketball keeps us kind of back on our heels a little bit. But, but basketball's wrapped up. Starting into baseball, and then hopefully once we finish the radio studio out this way, you can't see obviously on camera, but that's done. Then we move back into the other office, start getting that ready, and then I guess we're gearing up again for some fun time. I know we're going to be able to do some really cool things back there once we get it really in the way that we want it. Obviously right now it's just an empty room pretty much, but we'll get there. And And when you're listening to this right now, it's opening day.
Yeah.
It is opening day. So, I've been...
Yeah, if you're listening to this, you're probably glued to the Pirates. Paul Skeens is probably mowing down the Marlins right now.
Yep.
But Al Contreras pitching for, right?
Yeah,
for
it's 1:47 right now when we're recording this, so I don't know what time this will go up tomorrow or today. But yeah, the Buccos 4:10 first pitch. Paul Skeens against Sandy Alcantara. It's another. I tell you what, no matter how bad I think the Pirates are going to be, there's always something special about opening day. You always have hope.
Yeah, I'd say the best bet of the day would be under in the first five innings Pirates and Marlins game, but you never know. It's probably 2.5, I would think. So might be.
Let's take it.
Like I said, it's probably pretty low. And no one.
Oh, Jesus. Schemes and Alcantara pitching. My God, it might be 2.5.
That's two side. Yeah,
and that's
candidate.
The first time that Alcantara's pitched in about over a year now, because he had Tommy John. So that should be. I'm trying to check here to see what the line for the first five is. But again, something special about opening day, no matter how bad I think my team's going to be. It just makes me happy.
Right, I mean, listen, the Pirates can get a couple things going away. You never know. Maybe we'll sneak into a little wild card action. Oh,
man, with Jared Jones.
He's coming back.
Right, at least he doesn't have to have surgery.
Yeah, but I mean,
they said he might be back for All-Star.
6 weeks with no throwing. I mean, that's at least probably 9 weeks without him being in the big leagues.
Listen, I got hope. Like you said, we got hope. Until they prove me wrong, I have hope.
Okay, well, hope is eternal, and everybody's tied right now for like another 16 hours.
Yeah. Well, no. But Cubs are in last, and the Dodgers are in first.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So hey, the Pirates have a game up on the Cubs right now. So that's good. I tried to find the first five. I don't know. Where can you find that on the app here? Well, Skeens strikeouts over under 6.5. Alcantara's at 4.5. 6.5 seems a little bit low to me with that weak Marlins lineup. I mean, he could probably strike out the first six guys of the game. But all right, what's your official record projection for the Pirates? Ooh. I'm gonna say 2 years in a row they've had 76 wins. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say that they'll win 70. They'll win 79.
I've got a little higher.
They'll win 79. They'll be 79 and what's that math there?
Well, 79 and
85.
80. 83? 83.
79
and
83.
Big brain over
here.
So
there.
They'll be four
wow,
cool.
under.
That was good.
I think they're going to win. Let's see. I would put them at 83 and 79. I think they finish above 500.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. They finished with, 75 wins last year?
76.
I think getting Endy, I think getting Spencer Hoyle, I think having Bubba and them come up and strengthen that lineup later, even though Jerry Jones is out a little bit, I think we can see a little bit of an improvement. If Jack Sawinski comes back a little bit more, Tommy Pham better than what we had last year. I know he sucks, but he's still better. We're still a little bit better. I think we see an improvement.
Well, that and you got to remember, Skeens is, well, barring injury, he's there for the whole year.
Yeah, for a full year.
He didn't come up.
I think we see it. I mean, that's not a huge jump. What, 7 or 8 wins? Is that a crazy amount?
No.
I hope you're right, but I got to disagree. I don't think they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna get there.
What scares me is the bullpen.
Bullpen's a mess. Bullpen,
and then they send Kyle Nicklaus down, and now we got another guy in the starting rotation.
I mean, Majinski's now going to be a starter. So, there's still a lot. It's amazing. Opening day's tomorrow, and there's still so many question marks that they don't even know about.
Who's got more question marks, the Pirates or the Steelers? Are the Steelers going to get Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so if they don't, then it's Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph and probably a rookie, or unless they can somebody comes out on a trade.
Who's
market.
The backup to Mason Rudolph right
Kyle
now?
Kyle Allen, I think is his name.
I forget his name.
I didn't even.
It's somebody terrible.
Yeah, I
it's
didn't even.
Somebody really, really bad.
Really bad.
Now I got to look.
I just saw that. Who's Rudolph's? That is awful that a team is going to start the year with Mason Rudolph.
It's Skylar Thompson.
Skylar Thompson. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
He's so bad. Listen, I hope that's it. The Steelers fans would be absolutely miserable if that was still
there. Yeah, but I think they're going to be miserable if they sign Aaron Rodgers.
But now here's the thing, though, and I've been around Steelers fans long enough. They'll win a few games with Aaron Rodgers. There's a chance they finish about 500, and they would be able to tell themselves we are Super Bowl contenders, even though everybody in the world knows they are not. But it's the same story every year. If they should be begging for Mason Rudolph to start so they can get a refresh.
Yeah, because I don't know what else they'll do. I mean,
You think they can win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers?
No, absolutely not.
So why go get him?
Absolutely not.
You think Aaron Rodgers is better than Russ?
Yeah, 100%. Well, Russ is corn. Well, he's very corn. So, but here's the thing. They they made a good move by signing Russell Fields. I give them that, because now the fact that they went and signed bigger deals with other teams, they're going to get two comp picks for that, like third rounders. So next year, if they do stuck, they can trade those two third rounders up and move up in the draft next year.
Omar yeah. Khan's cooking.
Jarrett, you're right.
Did it on purpose, though.
Jarrett, you're the prognosticators are saying that your boy Boots is going to have a good year in San Diego.
Well, I mean, getting out of the electric Steeler offense, I'm sure he'll probably do a little bit better.
I forget what percentage of his runs, like 80% of his runs, he was hitting the backfield before.
My God,
he got the.
Well,
line
he
of
said
scrimmage.
That he said on a podcast or some interview that he said that nobody knew anything that was going on offense for the Steelers, and that nobody just rookies that like were in the offense and nobody else, and there was no leaders or anything.
He said like the only veteran leadership they had was on defense. Like he couldn't turn to any offensive guys or lean on anybody on offense. He also said your guys' facilities are terrible.
That's what everybody says. They're the worst in the 28th in the NFL or something.
I when we went to the Browns, when we went up, me, Chris, and Soup went up to the Browns training camp for that picnic, or you know, that cookout that they had before. I could not believe that it was all the major colleges are way better.
Oh yeah,
way better.
It's insane.
Places, facilities than like the Browns and the Steelers. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. I mean,
what,
I
guess their practice?
It's recruiting. A recruiting tool, but they recruiting for free agency in the NFL too.
I know, but I think it's just that getting selling those college kids because of the money on
and it's a
TV.
School.
Yeah, it's a school. Yeah, no, yeah, Jarrett, their field, the weight rooms, the just.
Did
the
you get to see it all? Did you go through it?
Yeah, it's just not. It's not that.
Is it just regular?
Yeah, it's not that great. Their practice field's just all right, and you know the facilities just you don't walk in and go wow. Like when I walked down to West Virginia and just in their baseball facility,
oh
I was
man,
like, oh my
that
god,
that baseball facility's unreal.
I mean, this is freaking unbelievable. And I guess they just added West Virginia just added that performance and strength and performance for their baseball. That's just absolutely unbelievable. So, I don't know.
If you see the Bengals going to practice, they have to walk across the street.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's an NFL team that has to travel to go to their own practice.
That's what I'm saying. It's just not the same. These colleges are just unbelievable. The quality of the – I'd have a hard time if you were a five-star recruit saying which one, obviously, now who can get you the most money. Mm-hmm. But the facilities and all the – they say Penn State's facilities are the best in the country, and they say it's just bizarre.
It's insane.
I mean, it's – like you said, it's a recruiting tool, and I'm sure – I wish we could get Nate and Jake Roberts back on the show
sometime. We'll get them. Yeah, we'll get them sometime.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that Big Jake's got a chance for the NFL. I'm hoping.
Yeah, Jake Roberts, in case you don't know that, he's a relative of our family, and he was the starting tight end for Oklahoma this past season. He was at Baylor, was North Texas, then Baylor, then Oklahoma, and then his younger brother, Nate, was a five-star tight end recruit, probably, what was he, like number two or three tight end?
Yeah, I think two or three.
Just signed at Ohio State, so he'll be going to, wow, I see
he's there now. Yeah,
he
was there all semester, and he was there for the national championship.
Yeah, so we're hoping that they come into town. We could do maybe even get Riley. Riley plays volleyball at Division I University of Central Oklahoma, and she was a tremendous performer.
Man, what an athletic family.
Yeah, yeah, my God.
Jeez. Yeah, I'd love to ask Nate and Jake some of the things that schools have like showed them or given to them to try to get them to come there.
I'm sure it's pretty good.
Well, now you can offer money, so
yeah, that's all
that's,
you. Need
that's
to got to
help
now.
A little bit too.
And I guess, and what funny, I was talking to Coach Marsh I was doing the PA for the baseball game the other day, and he said that his son Jared plays on the club baseball team
at
West Virginia.
Okay,
WVU. And he said the swag they get and the way they're treated is unbelievable, and it's just club.
Wonder where they get their money, though.
I think they have to raise it. They get some money from the university, but I don't know how all that works. But they have to raise their own money, and I guess the swag and just what they get, how they get treated, and it's just unbelievable. He said
that's interesting to me. I wouldn't think that.
Oh, he said it's unbelievable. Just they get their shoes bought for them. I asked him about gloves. He said they didn't get their gloves or their bats bought for them, but their shoes are bought for them. All their three uniforms or something, sweats, t-shirts, jackets.
Jeez.
Unbelievable for a club.
I bet that's a blast.
Would you like to play club sports?
I would. If I went to WVU and didn't play like baseball at like a school, I think I'd probably consider it.
I don't think I could do it.
You don't
Why?
Think so?
I don't think I could do it because I don't know.
They take it pretty serious.
To me, I feel like I would, and I get it. Like, I'm not like, no disrespect for it. I feel like I wouldn't be playing for anything. Like,
it might be a little bit more serious than
that. I can't like.
I think.
I don't know. To me, I think I feel like I'd like.
I feel like you think it's probably like OVBL.
Yeah, and like I don't think it would be. Yeah, and I don't think it's like that at all. I just feel like I almost would feel like if I went to WVU and I didn't make the actual baseball team and I went to play club, I'd almost would like feel like.
I don't know.
But
I
what if you like what bad. If you weren't what if you knew you weren't good enough to play, you were a step below the team, but you still wanted to play baseball. Wouldn't it be cool to travel with the WVU? I mean, you wear a WVU uniform and
if you got cut
from the team or you didn't make it, maybe you'd say, "Nah, I'm not doing club." But if like if you said, "I'm just not good enough to play on the NCAA team," I'd love to keep playing. I'd love to go play.
I mean,
club.
I guess I would do that, but then to me, I think I'd go like play like Division II.
But then you don't get to go to the school that you want to go to. Like some
I guess if you really wanted to go to WVU, then yeah, I guess.
I bet there's some talent on those clubs. You know, I mean, Jared Morris is a stud at baseball. And he's playing there. I bet there's some pretty good players.
Yeah, and I guess maybe if you were there for academics, like you had a full ride for academics, then maybe I guess. I would understand that, but
there's definitely a little like a stigma around.
Yeah,
I think it's a little bit.
You could go club, and then you could even do intramurals too. Intramural kickball or flag football.
I played intramural flag football at West Liberty.
Yeah, they used to, that got pretty serious.
Yeah, it did.
People took
that way too serious.
Sometimes I wish I would have like went to WVU and tried to walk on and then see if I could have made it and just been like a defensive replacement in the ninth inning and just traveled with the team.
It would be a fun experience.
It'd be fun, but then I probably wouldn't have ever played. Yeah. I would have maybe played like an inning a weekend
on senior night.
That wouldn't have been worth it, giving up all that time.
No.
I don't think.
No, but
I mean, you'd like the swag. You'd get all the
swag. Oh, that'd be great, yeah. And you get the meals and the strength program and all that. But I'm glad I went Division II.
Yeah, we had a good time.
It was a good time. It was a good time playing Division II. A lot of ridiculous stories of
goes fast though, doesn't it, fellas?
It does. Yeah. It does.
My God.
They always told
it's horrible.
Us that you don't believe it until it happens to you.
It's terrible. 5 years of school. Know, five and a half for me, really.
We're pushing 30 now.
I know.
Wow.
Crazy.
How'd that make you feel, coach? So we're almost 30.
Not
years
good.
Old.
I don't like to think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Goes fast. I'll tell you, and it goes fast the older you get. Your head hits a pillow on Sunday, and you wake up, and it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Like tomorrow, already Thursday, the day this is going to be aired, it's already Thursday. It's like, my God, it just was Sunday. We were watching the college basketball on TV on Sunday, and here it is Thursday already.
It's hard for me to believe that it's opening day today.
Right.
Really. It's opening day, and the home opener for the Pirates is next
and
week.
And basketball's
like
over.
Yeah,
that's
basketball.
Basketball seemed like it went.
Gosh, we just stuff
like
the
NBA.
We can't forget about that.
And I mean, Sweet 16 and Division 1 and over. Well, Division 2 and over.
Oh, my gosh.
High school's all over. Division, it's pretty much winding down. It seems like basketball went in a blink.
It did go quick. When did basketball started in November? End of November?
November starts basketball, early to beginning.
That's a pretty short season, though. I mean,
it is a short season. It's the quickest
one. What's that? That's like 2.5 months,
pretty
much?
Yeah, like 3 months, all December, January, and February. Yeah, those 3 months, and then March starts to wind down. But it goes so fast. And you know what? I'm telling you, football's going to be here for you now.
I know.
Football will be – people are going to be talking about football here soon.
Oh, yeah. The draft's almost here.
And then you're going to get teams going into their summer camps, and Next thing you know, it'll be the count. Nick will be sending the countdown to opening Pine Room Day.
And that is,
it'll be
that
here.
Is amazing.
It'll be here before you know.
It's amazing. I was walking. I was at PNC Park the other day, and I'm walking down the concourse, and I was like, I mean, it feels like I just was here, but and I started to think. It's been 6 months. I mean, it's a long, it's a
it
6 months
a long
season, 6 month off season, and I was like, I can't believe that I was back here in October. Well, no, I wasn't there in October, sadly. End of September.
You wish.
I know. One day we'll get Bucktober.
I hope so.
That'd be awesome.
Are you gonna get back into watching the games?
Probably not.
I feel like you watch more than you did last. Like,
I can't.
Than you, normally,
they
now
have
that
to,
I'm there,
they
I
have
just
to win
can't.
You back?
What's that?
They have to win you back.
Yeah, they don't do anything to get you excited. There's nothing.
Well, Skeens now.
Other than Paul Skeens, what do the Pirates have to attract you?
O'Neill Cruz.
Jared Jones, once he comes back, but that's about it.
What do they have? Well, I don't get excited about Key Bryan. I don't get excited about JFK. IKF. IKF. I don't get so excited about Nick Gonzalez. They just
about Spencer Horwitz.
Oh, jeez. He's not even playing, is he? He's hurt.
No, not yet.
I think
he's back swinging now.
Oh, okay. That's good news.
But maybe they'll pick up Rowdy Tellez or something.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we'll go down that road again. It's bad. I wish I was the way I used to be, but I just
can't. Will you watch a majority of Paul Skeens' starts?
Yeah, maybe. If I'm not doing
will
anything.
Will you watch a game tomorrow?
What time's 4:10?
4:10 first pitch.
4:10 first pitch. Tomorrow's Thursday.
You got a baseball? You got a high school game tomorrow?
No high school game tomorrow. 4:10 today. That'd be today, which when we're talking.
Yeah.
I'll probably see what he does because I might bet on the Pirates tomorrow.
You'd play the Pirates tomorrow?
I think so. I mean, I think with Skeens going, but he'll probably go, what, six innings maybe?
Probably
tops?
Six tops.
That's all you need.
Yeah, but then, like, what's the first thing you said you're worried about?
Yeah, the bullpen.
Yeah, so they. Yeah. He could come in. He could leave leading 2-1. They could be 5-2.
Is Bednar getting the first save opportunity?
I would say they talked about that on the radio yesterday. They said if the Pirates are going to the ninth inning leading by one, is David Bednar going to pitch? And they said they would expect him to. Yeah,
yeah. That's what I would figure.
So one guy said he thinks it'll be Holderman. I said,
jeez,
that's not much better.
Terrible. Yeah.
He was.
He was great. He was almost like an all-star.
He makes me
a little bit. But
he's the reason that I hate Jock Peterson. I don't know if I've ever told that. I definitely have told you guys the story, but I don't know if I've ever told it on here. When maybe I have, but last year the Pirates were playing the Diamondbacks, and Jock Peterson hits an absolutely massive home run in the eighth inning against Colin Holderman. We were up like five in the eighth inning, and they come storming back. Beat us in the ninth inning, and I was fucking pissed. It was at the end. It was at the end of the weekend too. It was a getaway day. It was on Sunday, so I was down on the field after the game, and the kids are running around the bases, and I'm in the dugout. I'm like right at the top stairs of the Diamondbacks dugout, the visiting dugout, and I turn around, and Jock Peterson is standing in his underwear at the top of the clubhouse stairs, smoking a cigar. And I turn, and he just gave me one of these nods. And ever since then, I just absolutely
cool.
hated Jock Peterson.
Did he have no shirt on either?
Just no shirt on, just undies? compression pants, smoking a cigar.
Did he do something in that game?
Yeah, he hit the home run off Holderman.
What a fucking stud for that.
And he's sitting in the dugout.
You got to give him some respect.
Oh,
for that.
Him and then Pete Crow Armstrong for the Cubs. I hate that dude, too.
He was talking shit to you guys.
Oh, my
he?
God, I was so mad. That was the game that we, the Pirates were up like, I think it was like 9-1 in the seventh inning, and the Cubs ended up coming back to win, and Pete Crow Armstrong was out in center field waving to the fans and like waving over to us, and
ooh.
I just ever since then I can't stand him either.
You remember when Nick yelled to Brian De La Cruz?
I was thinking about that the other day. Yeah, wait, so you like? I don't know if you've ever heard that story, Dad. When we were Brian De La Cruz, as a game I wasn't working, and we went to the game, and we were down on the right field corner, and Brian De La Cruz, who we just had got from the Marlins at the time, was in right field, and Nick yells over to him. There's two outs, and he said, "Hey, Brian, we got two." And he looked over and said, went like this.
No way.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah, and he gave us a nod. But now Brian De La Cruz is gone.
Where's he?
Braves. He's with the Braves. He got released. I thought somebody picked him up and then released him, and then the Braves picked him up.
Yeah.
So he's gone. The big acquisition of the deadline is gone.
Yeah. Huh. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Opening day today. Hopefully you're tuned in to this and then tuned in to the game. First pitch at 4:10. I'll be locked in. I'll be locked in probably about 3 o'clock. Turn on the pregame. And
yeah, it would have been cool if West Liberty was playing tonight also. They got upset by Dominguez Hills after blowing a 17-point lead, which
that
is absolutely
just sickening.
I mean,
sickening.
I was coming up to the baseball game on Tuesday. I did the PA for the Park Morgantown game, which was really a good game. Park won 6-5. But I when I pulled up, they were up 17. And I walked in and was like, oh, this I was trying to make plans for Thursday for getting it on the radio and making sure that we had everything in place. And there's no way West Liberty loses a 17-point lead ever. And then I came in, and Coach Beal was there. He keeps scoreboard. He said, well, they got it to 10. I'm like, eh, okay, they went on a little 7-0 run. Oh, they got it to 5. It's a 12-0 run. And he said they got it to 2. And I'm like, that's like a 16-0 run. And then he said they just hit a 3. They took the lead. I literally
– what is it? 17-0
run, 25-2.
That is – that for a West Liberty team to have that happen, that's almost impossible for those teams. That's what they do to teams.
They don't – they and West Liberty just doesn't miss that many shots.
No,
they,
it's incredible.
They always find a way to get shots to go, either that – that Schuler kid, the little black kid, or D'Agostino finds a way to get a shot, or the
Spadafora, he's pretty good,
or the
Finley Woodward.
Finley Woodward finds inside, and to get outscored 17-0, I was like, no way.
That's a sickening loss, and then they would have went on to play Dallas Baptist, who I thought just looked okay against Lake Superior. Yeah, I thought they just looked okay against Lake Superior. They went on a run to kind of win big, but man, I thought they would have had a shot, because then they would have had a chance to meet up with Coach Crutch again.
If Coach Crutch beats Washburn, and they say Washburn's very good, so I wouldn't count Nova in automatically yet. So that'd have been exciting. Opening day, then watch West Liberty and Nova that night. I still watch Nova, but geez, that would have been really cool.
Maybe the next head coach of the Mountaineers.
Yeah, boy, I still don't hear anything that even closely resembles that.
And that Hodge guy, that wasn't official. That wasn't official? I've seen. I think he's just a candidate. That's what some accounts were saying, that he was. There was a good chance. But
yeah, what's
the voice of Morgantown? Yeah, I don't think they're the most reliable source, but still looking. It's amazing.
They said,
I'll do. Yeah, he said, Filippone. They said that. All Ren Baker does is just hire coaches now in the offseason. He's had to do it for baseball, football, and basketball. But Coach Saban's was all obviously in-house.
This will be, what, 2 times for basketball now, right?
2 times for basketball, once for football, and then once for baseball. But Coach,
and once for women's basketball, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had to replace and get Markell on.
And I don't know if there's any other like minor sports.
I'm sure there is.
It's unbelievable that the turnover at the West Virginia. It's beyond belief. I think it's going to end up being the assistant coach for the Mountaineers. I was going to look his name up.
Who's that?
The assistant coach for the Mountaineers. He's been there a while. That's who I think it'll end up being.
That they'll stay in house.
Yeah. That's what I think it'll be. If you look up their coaching staff, I'll tell you.
They're not going to bring back Huggins?
No, I can't imagine that happening. I can't.
They shouldn't do that.
No, they definitely shouldn't do that.
Well, everybody loves nostalgia here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they did do it with Rich Rod.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Rich Rodriguez and Bob Huggins back on the same staff.
That would be just amazing.
That is beyond bizarre.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely unbelievable. So anyway, we'll get through that. Watch the Buccos hopefully open up with a win, and then watch Coach Crutchfield. Hopefully, I root for Coach Crutch. He's a great guy. We've had him on our podcast. We've had him on the radio station several times. He never forgets his roots, man. He always talks about the people back here and how special they were to him, and where he wouldn't be where he is now if it wasn't for a lot of the people back here in Wheeling.
Why did they? Because he was the tennis coach previously, right?
He was.
Yeah, he was the tennis coach at Westlib. What was the reason for hiring him as the basketball coach?
I think he just applied for it as because he was a basketball coach at Cameron, I believe. And then he wanted to take over the basketball at a collegiate level and did. And
man, what a hire. That's got to be one of the best hires of all time.
You know who hired him, right, was –
Who?
Matt's dad,
Uncle
right?
Jim.
Yep. Oh, Uncle
really?
Jim. Yeah.
I didn't know
when Uncle Jim was the AD.
That has to be one of the best hires in all of sports. Like,
yeah, just was one. Did Uncle Jim just have a? He just had a hunch.
Like, yeah, he had a hunch that he could be good because I think in the interview he just knocked him dead and said, "This is the way we're going to play and this is how it's going to go." And his first year, I remember Chris and I were real close to then to Coach Crutch, and we went in and we. The very first recruiting class he had in, who ended up being very good, Chris and I did a cookout for him up at it was the Bartell Fieldhouse at that time. And me and Chris cooked hamburgers and hot dogs. For that first recruiting group. And they were unbelievable.
What? So you just were just close with Coach Crutch, or were you
close? Coach Jim Watson. Well, yeah, we were friends with Jim and Matt, so we wanted to be involved because we were involved with Coach Petrie when he was there at West Liberty. We just loved West Liberty basketball. And then when they hired Coach Crutch, I wanted to be part of that program. And so Chris and I just jumped on the wagon and cooked the first meal for him. And we'd still say to this day they wouldn't have won if it wasn't for
exactly,
Chris
if it wasn't for
cooking
the
hamburgers and hot dogs. They said they were best hamburgers and hot dogs they ever had.
And that's why they stayed at West.
Sold them, yeah. It was like up in the air between
so basically
Fairmont, Charles, UC.
You were a recruiting tool.
Yeah, we were. And that extra little dab of Worcestershire that Chris put on the burger was the deal.
You could say that you and Chris were the reason.
Well,
for
I tell Coach
Crutch
that all the time. I tell him that all the time. I said, "Where would you be if we weren't there cooking those hamburgers and hot dogs? You probably have lost every one of those guys, and you'd have been about 2 and 25.
You should get part of his paychecks."
Well, I don't know.
Well, I think he says that you guys were the reason.
Yeah, he does. He always.
That
says.
Is amazing.
He owes you everything.
He does. Owes me. Yes, 100%.
So Coach Uncle Jim just had a feeling with the
That's
tennis
awesome.
Coach.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
and then, he was a pretty good tennis coach.
I think he won a conference championship when he was coaching tennis. And then I don't know where he came up with that style play. I don't know where he can't. And he's told us that before, but I don't ever remember what he says where he got it. But that style play is just unbelievable how they play. And I watched Nova last night, and they do the same exact thing that they've been doing back here at West Liberty for 20 years. It's crazy.
He changed the game of basketball.
I think
that's insane. And it's crazy to think it just came from West Liberty.
Him.
Like, you don't think – like, when you think West Liberty, you just think, it's like a local college, but it's one of the best basketball schools of all time.
No, no doubt.
And then you think there's Coach Spoelstra coming to talk to him. There's,
yeah, he needs more help.
There's other college coaches, and West Virginia doesn't even
–
Something that doesn't mesh with – they don't think Coach Crutch, he's too old or whatever. I don't get it either.
If he only gives you 5 good years, who cares?
That's right, exactly.
That's better than what they've had.
And then develop get one of your assistants to take over when you're
hired. For West
literally exactly what West Lib has done for
years. I'm sure Nova would
years.
Do the same thing.
And look at all the coaches they've sent out that he's sent out.
Oh, my gosh.
They're like the top scoring teams in the country, and they're all successful. Devin Hearn at Bluefield, they gave West Liberty the toughest game they had in the regional. And they beat Bluefield by 9, and they gave him a battle. And then you got Jordan Fee coaching somewhere. Mike Lamberti.
He's down at Coker. Coker was really good this year.
Eric Bavard is coaching in Hawaii. I mean, it's just amazing the guys that followed his program, took it to another institution, and are highly successful doing the same thing.
Yeah, and he and Coach Crutch could not be a nicer guy too.
He's awesome.
He is one of the best guys. And I haven't seen him for I mean, it's been. I mean, ever since he left West Lib, I haven't seen him. I'd love to go down there.
Well, you saw him at the podcast. You saw him when he was.
I wasn't there that day. I was at the. I think I was at a Pirate game.
We had the Corona for him. We had Corona, and he.
He's got to get back up here.
He comes home a lot.
Yeah, you know, he's got to get back up here, and we got to see him and have him on the show again. Hopefully, after they win another national title, we'll be.
But he might not even want to leave down there because he's got it made in the shade.
I know, that's the thing. He probably, I think he wakes up probably every day, goes and plays pickleball, and then
never has to
goes
wear,
and wins.
Never has to wear a sweatshirt. Maybe at nights, a couple nights, but never has to wear anything heavy.
I would love to go down there and see him and watch a game.
That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they are in baseball. Are they decent?
I think they're
in baseball?
Pretty good in baseball. Yeah, I think they're pretty. I mean, any of those Florida teams are
good.
Any of those Florida teams are good. They got such an advantage. That's something to think about too. Is how much of an advantage Southern teams have in baseball over Northern teams.
Well, we went on last week on Wednesday. Park opened. It was 79 degrees, shorts, beautiful. Next day it was 49. The wind was blowing. It was raining. Last Wednesday night or Tuesday night, it was like 54, overcast, wind blowing. Everybody was freezing. Down there, you never worry. Maybe the breeze might be blowing a little bit, but you're in shorts. The guys are never have to worry about gloves, no turtleneck, no face wrap, none of that stuff. Up here, every game is just a brutal battle with the weather. Oh,
I mean, that's why every team goes to turf now.
Oh, yeah, Well, that second day that we played at Park, we wouldn't have been able to play. It rained during the game. It probably would have wiped the game out. But the turf, yeah.
It's nice, but sometimes you wish you didn't have it so you didn't have to,
I know.
To play. Then you have no
yeah,
chance.
You got to play.
Yeah, yeah, but you guys know this perfectly. You don't ever have to worry about the tarp.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Might be the worst thing that a baseball player has to do.
That's so funny you say that. I was at PNC the other day, and we were walking on the warning track, and I walked past the tarp, and I just thought about how miserable that used to be.
Especially if there's water on it, it's cold.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's in the morning before you have to play.
One of the worst. That was one of the worst things ever. You'd wake up about 8 o'clock. All right, tarp duty.
All right,
we got to take the tarp off, and it's
half the team's hung over.
Everybody's in boots and old sweatshirts.
And you still have to play. The other team's still probably in their hotel room, sleeping nice and warm. You guys are out at 8 in the morning fighting the wind. And, you know, the tarp gets up in the air, and the wind, the water's blowing everywhere, and you're trying to get it to go off of the third base side or wherever you guys drag it to.
And it spills all
we had
the
it one time. Oh. We had it one time where it was the old tarp, and the wind blew, and the tarp just picked up, and it got caught on the batting cage, and it ripped onto the batting cage, and we just left it there. We just left it, and then it blew over, and then we just never used it again.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's just tarp is just that's for the terrible. Amount of games it saves, and if just it's
well,
so
the amount of work, the amount of
that's
work,
what
and
I'm
the
saying.
Amount of yeah,
it's not worth it.
I mean, you need the whole team to get that thing. You got to get the water off, then you got to fold it up, then you got to roll it, and then you got to carry it.
Well, that
and you're getting the whole time your hands are filthy, they're cold. You're all your clothes are getting wet and dirty.
We used to, man, we had it down to a science though when you had to roll it back up, because you had to make sure that we had our designated kicker to kick because one side would go up ahead and then it would set off the whole thing, but we had our designated kicker.
Yeah, Banal,
if he ever was listening to this, Banal was our designated kicker.
He'd
wear his big ass boots and just kick that tarp, and it'd keep it straight. That's we'd so put funny. It right up against the fence, and it'd be good.
That's awesome. That's
I always liked that some of the freshmen would get in the tube and roll around in it right after they got the left-handed fungo.
Or the knuckleballs.
Or the keys of the
batter's box. Or the curveballs.
The keys of the batter's box.
Batting cage.
Yeah, or the keys of the batter's box, too.
Oh, I didn't hear that
one.
Yeah,
the batter's
box. I always thought the keys of the batting cage were great. I always thought to go get a box of curveballs.
I think that's hilarious. I mean, they did that to the freshman and go get them out of the shed.
That is work. That's work.
And then you know when hurry up, Phil, go hurry up, go get the box of curveballs. We need them quick. And instead of saying, well, what are the curveballs or where are they?
Oh, okay.
He'll just say, all right, like he knows, and then he gets out there. Oh, my God.
What are
they marked fastball,
yeah,
curveball,
yeah,
knuckleball?
Change up.
That is good. That's such a good
keys in the batting cage. Where are the keys to the batting cage?
They're
hanging up in the shed. Guy runs
that
down.
Is such a good – it's such a harmless – prank.
Yeah,
oh, I love
the
awesome.
Left-handed fungo. I like the left-handed fungo.
I think that's hilarious.
Can you go grab the left-handed fungo? What's it look like?
It's always fun to pull those kind of tricks.
Oh,
on.
Oh man, and that's just how you learn it. Team bonding,
yeah,
kind of thing.
That's what Hazen should be.
Yeah, not like
not like here.
No, oh, Jesus, like yeah, horrible stuff.
Now I'm curious to look up baseball freshman. Pranks.
We used to football when I was equipment manager. We'd get the freshmen, and when we would get them early, we would always ask them what size tie they wore.
Yeah.
What size tie you wear?
And
what size tie you wear? Because we'd act like we were gonna give them ties. What size tie you wear? Large. That was unbelievable. We got to ask Myers about that time.
What size tie do you
wear? Yeah, what size tie you wear?
That's incredible. Who thought of that?
Jesus. Oh, I probably me. Just thinking of stupid stuff. Yeah.
One size fits all.
Wouldn't measure. So then we'd go out and I'd go like this to between her belt buckle and her chin, and I'd say XL.
You think any of them?
And I'd say don't forget that, because when the coach asks you, you need to know. And then it'd say, "What size tie? XL." And
okay.
Like,
damn, awesome. I can't find any of these sayings. I feel like I've seen some more of the.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, because I'm sure all teams do that kind of stuff to guys, to you know, fun stuff that is
harmless.
You can really make fun of really a lot of fun.
I mean, I could just go on and on about some of the shit that just would go on in the hotels and the buses and the bus ride, obviously you love playing and you love, you know, competing and being in the, like, on the field, but off the field, some of the stuff that would happen at, you know, the hotels, restaurants, like when you're out partying after the games, just, and that's I feel like is what I miss the most about.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's what college athletics is all about. It's the camaraderie you make. The road trips were the most fun when you stay. It was just a team. You didn't have to worry about no parents bothering you or the fans. You just go, and it's a team only, and those were the best times I ever thought.
I enjoyed the road games more than I did.
Oh, absolutely. Home games, for sure. Well, you don't have to work on the field. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do anything with the field. You get off the bus, you go play, you get on the bus, you go home. At home, you got it, you know. And plus, on the road, you usually don't take BP either. So,
you
just get off the bus. You maybe, I don't know.
Take some ground balls
and go.
Yep.
There at home, you got to do BP. And 50 guys go
by the
through.
Time the game came out, I'm just, like, exhausted.
50 guys got to take BP. You got to rake the field. You got to line it. You know, if you don't have turf, you got to line it. You got to rake it. You got to drag it. Get the drag. Get it on by. On the cart, take it.
That was the one thing that nice about, like, being able to, like, be on, like, when you would play. It was more of the younger guys and the guys didn't play that had to do that kind of stuff. I loved before the games at home. I loved our routine that we would show up at the field, stretch, throw, and take BP, take some ground balls. Then we'd leave the field, go to the calf, eat. Hang out for a little bit in the clubhouse, and then come back to the field, and we were ready to go.
As long as it wasn't
that.
Too cold, that was the only thing.
Yeah,
because if it was real cold and you had to take BP,
it was always cold.
Yeah,
if it was cold, we'd take it inside, which always sucked.
Yeah,
it was
I'm
terrible.
Well, that's at least when you got the
and then we had the facility. That was great, but God, when we used to have to take it in Blatnick. Guys would try to break the windows out of the Blatnick when you hit it off,
tee. I remember we'd get, like, and you guys did the same thing. It'd be like 20 different hitting stations, and you were all packed in there, and it was the same hitting stations every day.
Top hand, bottom hand.
Oh,
bucket.
Geez. Yeah.
Top.
It just got old.
It's like at some point, it's like, all right, how much else can you do for your swing?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just tying yourself out, but That would make it fun trying to break the windows out of Blatnick when you hit it off the tee.
Well, I like when there was bullpens going on in the middle of BP. That was always fun.
Yeah. Jeez.
And that was cool. Yeah, well, it was luckily nobody got killed because balls flying.
There's only so much room in there.
Oh my God, guys swinging as hard as they could, and yeah, those were tough days, but a lot of fun memories from West Liberty baseball.
Yeah,
they were fun. A lot of really good memories, and made some really good friends, lasting friends that you'll have forever.
Yep.
through college sports.
Still talk to them every day. I wanted to go through. Because we were talking about the warm weather and how much of an advantage that the warm teams that are in the warm have over, the North and the South. I wanted to go through the top 25 college baseball teams in the country right now, the most recent rankings from yesterday. It is amazing. I think there is one cold weather team on here. Tennessee, Arkansas, Georgia, Florida State, and then at number five, Oregon State. They're obviously a cold weather team. Clemson, Texas, LSU, Oklahoma, Oregon's another cold weather team. Auburn, Alabama, Southern Miss, Vandy, Ole Miss, Wake Forest, Dallas Baptist, Louisville, UC Irvine, Stanford, North Carolina, Troy, Arizona, UCLA, Georgia Tech. So two of the 25 top 25 teams are cold weather teams. So that goes to show that. They have an advantage over the North.
Probably in most sports other than basketball.
Yeah. Well, no, not because football. I mean, you got Big Ten, so really good in football.
I guess Ohio State,
Penn State.
Mm-hmm. Florida State was fucking terrible this past season, but yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I think more of it. I guess it probably plays more into baseball, just because baseball is so much harder to play in the cold, but.
I was just looking, and the reason I was looking on my phone and getting some text here. Did that Ross Hodge get hired?
Oh, I don't know. Is that for sure?
It was a rumor, but I don't think it was confirmed.
Let's take a look here.
Okay, I don't see anything confirmed. If we have any, I continue to hear that's the name.
Yeah, I think it's probably gonna be who gets hired. But I don't think it's official.
I wonder what choice he is in the whole hierarchy. Wonder where he was about 15th. just incredible.
I don't know. Some looks like it is confirmed, and then some looks like it's not. But I don't know. I don't really understand that one. I mean,
Coach, I heard that this is way off topic, and I just need it confirmed. Did you really not call off one day of work as a teacher your entire?
Oh, no. Like, for my first 25 years, I never took one day off. Then I had a hernia surgery that I had to take work off. But I don't think I ever called a day off just for being sick. I had hernia surgery. I had, I was still teaching when I had my knee. So those are the two reasons
That's impressive.
Yeah, I never took.
You just love going to work, or you just never felt like...
I just never
just didn't have anything better to do?
Off unless I was
like, well, and it helped you in the long run, right?
Oh, yeah, because
you probably had plenty of days for that.
Yeah, I could have taken them all, but then I wouldn't have had... So, because every 3 days that you had saved up from sick days, you got a month of medical coverage after you retired. So I had like 7 years saved up that I didn't have to pay for any.
I don't know if they still do stuff like
that. I don't think they do anymore. I'm not sure how it works, but yeah, I could have cashed them in on my retirement and got more money each pay, but I wanted to get
medical
health coverage, which got me to Medicare. So anyway,
you were able to retire.
Yeah, I never took days off ever.
I think you retired my freshman year of high school, I think.
2015 is when I retired.
That would have been my sophomore year. Yeah.
Yeah, because we would go, like we talked about this a lot. We would go to Penguins games. Me, Coach Nardone, Chris Pavlik, and Jerry Wiltz, our good buddy. We would go to like all the home Penguin games, and some would be during the week. A lot of them would be, and we'd stop and get a case of beer at which is now Little Bear, or what's it called, R&T. Down in Warwood, it was Little Bear then. We'd get a case of Busch beer, we'd drink on the way up, we'd drink beer every period, we'd buy what they call period beers. I think it was 24-ounce beer. Each of us would buy a period beer, so we'd drink one and drink all the way home and get home about – quarter 12, 12 o'clock, and never miss work.
That's awesome.
Every day, never
miss
work.
That's impressive, though, that you didn't miss work after that night of drinking.
Oh, and bad. And if they want a big game, like they like upset somebody,
you'd
or
stay out even later.
Those are some of my favorite stories.
Just drink harder on
it. Well, you're drinking Bush beer,
Bush Light.
We need a podcast dedicated to it. Some memories.
Oh, well, you'd have to get Chris.
Yeah.
Matt could tell some incredible stories.
It's so funny.
A lot of them included Coach Nardone, too.
I was just going to bring up that one before we wrap up here in a second. The one of him when he tried to jump over that chain and he had that puck in his
coat. He didn't see it. We were flying down because there was those gunshots, and he didn't see that chain, and he went – goal, and he had that
windbreaker, right?
Yeah, in a windbreaker, and had with a puck giveaway, and he had that puck right here in his and he went right on his stomach, and he was like sucking
and it ripped
the windbreaker and knocked the wind out of him. It was
right after he tried to elbow the glass, right?
But that was a different day. Yeah, he went down and he was mad because somebody got a penalty, and he went down and elbowed the glass. He ended up in the emergency room the next day with this thing as big as a softball, and it was disgusting. He had to go get it drained and get it X-rayed.
Oh my god!
It was really
this
really
is Coach
bad.
Nardone.
Yeah, he used to. Oh boy, he did some wacky things.
That's hilarious.
And we got
the jacket.
We got one of those jackets, and then somebody scored three goals, and you're supposed to throw a hat on the ice, and he threw the jacket on, got stuck up on the on the glass. He had to come out with a ladder and get his jacket off of the ice.
That's a great story. That one, and then Chris throwing his mug onto the
ice. Yeah, Chris threw his mug on the ice.
Did a shadow?
It was a plastic mug.
Oh, that's right.
It was a plastic giveaway mug. But Chris could tell. Chris loves telling those stories.
I love hearing them.
Oh, just you can go on and on
about some of those. Just I love to hear some of those.
And we could have a pot on that, and then the mountaineer trips that we used to make in the van, eight of us, go to every single home mountaineer game and at least one away game. We'd either go to Maryland, Virginia Tech, or Penn State.
Did you have season tickets, or did you just buy
every
them?
Year season tickets? I get
you
them
had season tickets.
Eight season tickets. I get them off PI Drake for every game. Everybody give me their money. Like, geez, season tickets back then were like only $100. So I'd go on PIs with like $800. I'd sit down there for about an hour. He'd give us eight season tickets and a blue lot parking pass.
That's awesome.
Every single Mountaineer game.
Did you had season tickets
every
for
game.
Penguins too?
Yeah, Jerry Wiltz got them through Wheeling Pittsburgh Steel.
For free?
For four tickets. Never had to pay for a ticket. Ever.
That's amazing.
Ever had to pay for a ticket.
I still have never been to a Penguin game.
Me either.
Yeah, and it was different because it was Civic Arena then, and it was – we always sit in – Chris could tell you exactly what seats we sat in.
Was it still at the same location?
No. It was
– Civic Arena was where? Was it that? Was it downtown or was it
– Yeah. No, maybe it was like in that general vicinity. Chris would know. I don't even remember.
For the 3-year celebration podcast, we need drinks and we need – you and Chris.
Chris could tell
we'd be a fucking
stories about
podcast.
Mountaineer games too. Would leave it dark. It wasn't even. Yeah. Sometimes we'd pull in a stadium and couldn't see the stadium. It was so foggy we couldn't even see. So it would be like one of the first ones there. We'd get a van. I did all the planning. I'd get a van. I'd get a keg of beer, and the keg would fit right where you close the door. It fit right in there. So we had a keg of beer. And you guys take to the games, the four seater and same guys every. And I think we actually had two extra tickets, and we would take two extra guys all the time. Sometimes Worm would go, I forget who else would go. But one day we'll talk about stories.
Did Matt ever go? Would Matt go with you?
Yeah, and I don't think Matt ever did make a Mountaineer game with us.
He would go to NASCAR, right?
Yeah. There's some other stories there. Oh, boy. You get Matt on some of those.
I love that story about Matt, and I think we've told it on here when Matt – or no, that wasn't Matt. That was Mike that had to write the poem for school, and you guys wrote that poem, lost it, though.
If I had that poem – now, I wrote it on the way home. We were in the back of a –
Because Mike had to go to school the next day, right?
Yeah, and he had to have a poem or something. We wrote it on the way home about NASCAR. It was unbelievable. Yeah, some of those stories are. We'll do that cool sometime. Yeah. We'll get you crying.
Yeah, maybe the three.
We'll get you crying, laughing about just some of the stupid stuff that we did. Like, like one day coming home, and you shouldn't brag about this kind of stuff, but one day coming home, we were going down, coming home on Main Street, and you know, we've been drinking all freaking day, and somebody said, let's just turn and go up Pike Street. You know where Pike Street is.
Yeah.
And we drove the van. That's an absolute one-way street.
But up Pike.
Up Pike Street.
But Pike Street's about a 90-degree
yeah. And we drove up Pike Street for some stupid reason.
Hey, let's drive up Pike Street.
Hey, what do you say we drive up Pike Street? And great. Day we lost the van. We lost the van one day.
Yeah, you told that because we called Todd. Remember when you called Todd? We called Todd on the show.
Couldn't find a van.
And the keys he thought were in that creek.
And at then at the time that Joe Roth put my boot on the back of a bumper of a pickup truck. We drove in the back of a pickup truck. There was a cap on it, and there were like five of us in the back and three guys in the front of a pickup truck. And we drove in the back, and that's the day he took one of those cheap, like $10 grills that you buy at the dollar store, and it was kept banging him. So he threw it out the back of the truck. I was trying to hold it. I was laughing so hard. See it going down the road, sparks going off, flying everywhere. And I got back. I couldn't find my boot. I had one boot. I don't know. I had my boots off or something. He put one of my boots on the fender, on the bumper of the pickup truck, came all the way from Morgantown all the way home.
That is amazing.
And the boot was still on the back of the
bumper. That is amazing.
Unbelievable.
Then he just wanted it to fall off.
Probably. He probably wanted me to have one boot like the rest of the time. And I was like, I said, I don't know what I do with my boot. And those guys laughing. He said, that thing's got to be back in Morgantown. He put it on a bunk, got out, and that son of a bitch was still sitting right on a bumper whole way home.
That's all.
But anyway, we're going to have a podcast where we're going to tell fun stories about the old days
Maybe in three weeks, maybe. Yeah, for
I look forward to that.
We may move. We may get the set one day and take it up there and have a big reunion.
Yeah, even if we don't have the set, we'll just sit around a table and do it there. But I think that'll wrap it up for the 153rd episode of the Pine Room Podcast. As always, thank you for listening. Opening day today. Go watch the Pirates. What else?
And
you
big
got?
Things coming for the Pine.
Yeah, room. Yeah, big time.
Keep your ears to the ground.
Yeah, we've been a little slow on YouTube content as it goes, you know, different videos besides the podcast. But we've been, as we said at the beginning, crazy busy. But we're picking it up here soon, and stay tuned. So I think that'll do it from here in the Pine Room Studios. Myself, Coach Cools. Monkey over there.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Yeah, he did it. He really got involved.
Really good.
All right, we'll see you later.
Bye-bye.